gracious hosts, unique lodging, and tasty cuisine. New Mexico bed and breakfasts are New Mexico true. Our innkeepers are as special as New Mexico, and we're sharing their stories. Read about them and plan your trip at nmbba.org. Hey, everybody. We are super excited to go back to Albuquerque, New Mexico to chat with Steve and Kathy Hyatt, who are the owners and innkeepers of Bodger Mansion. And they are in right in Old Town and right by Route 66. In fact, they have a Route 66 room that overlooks Route 66. And being in Old Town, it's so cool. You can park and just walk to restaurants and shops, see all the neon signs of Route 66. And they're also very close to the Botanical Garden and the aquarium. And it's just a great place to stay and a lot of history. So go to their website, botger.com. It's B-O-T-T-G-E-R, botger.com. And all the links, including the New Mexico Bed and Breakfast Association, which is nmbba.org, they are all in the show notes. So welcome back, Steve and Kathy. How are you?
Oh, doing well. And you?
Oh, doing good. We're in the West. We're in Tucson, so not far. So you know, we're like this big blue sky, sunny weather. We're happy as punch. What's the weather like in Albuquerque?
Oh, it's about 75 degrees and sunny. No clouds.
That's nice.
It
oh,
is
that's
nice.
Beautiful. That is beautiful. How's the garden going, Kathy, for this time of year?
It's doing fine. It's starting to wind down. We are having chilly nights, so things are starting to go a little bit more dormant, and we're starting to lose the leaves. But the cottonwoods along the river are gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, leaves turning all around.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. I think that's what people don't realize about New Mexico. It's like you've got four seasons in one state, you know, depending on where you go. And you do have like the change of colors.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what, those big blue skies, unless it rains, which is rare, but those big blue skies that are beautiful. And do they stay for you throughout winter?
What, blue skies?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Oh, absolutely.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Unless a storm is coming through.
Yeah.
It's pretty much blue.
How
It's
was the
year, what, 320 days a year?
We like that. We like that. Sunshine is always good. And it's a warm sunshine. We could feel the difference. We drove from North Carolina out to here, Tucson, and we hit Texas. It was warm. We went through Alabama. It was warm. And we're like, okay, this is nice. Then we hit Texas and we went, what happened? There were flash floods we were driving through, and then it got like in the 30s. We're like, that's it. Hotel room now. It got really cold. But as soon as we hit like outside of, you know, we were you're always in Texas for a long time when you're driving across, but the sunshine, you could feel it through the car, no matter how cold it really was. The sunshine, as soon as you hit New Mexico and we greeted the giant road runner in Las Cruces. That's a must stop, you know, at that one rest area. But the sunshine in the car, you could feel it and you're like, oh my gosh. But back, you know, when you're in the Midwest or you're in the northern parts of the country and it's wintertime, I don't care what you do, the sunshine is cold. It does not warm you up like it does in the West. It's wild, man. So,
Well,
and it's weird.
it's the joys of being at 5,000 feet.
Yeah,
The UV is much more intense.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But how was the hot air balloon festival? I know that's a big deal in October for you guys. It was
It
busy.
was wonderful. It was the I just saw they had the largest attendance ever at Balloon Fiesta. So it was over 800,000 people.
And the weather was outrageously good.
Oh, yes.
There were only two events that didn't happen because of wind.
Because of wind, yeah.
And that is a really good Balloon Fiesta.
Yeah. I think that Mass Ascension went.
Mass Ascension one morning, and
morning,
then a Balloon Glow like the second Thursday or something. So there were only two events that didn't go. So that's a really good Balloon Fiesta.
Yeah. And if people are wanting to come to Balloon Fiesta next year, now's the time to be booking.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
We'll fill up by the end of January, and all the B&Bs in town will fill up by mid-February.
Are you kidding me? That's how big it is.
Mm-hmm. It's huge. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
I heard that you basically need to take shuttles around as well, or like
there's a park and ride. There's so many people that go on the weekends. On a really great day with beautiful weather, you can have up to 125, 130,000 people on the field.
Oh
it's,
man,
it's
that's
huge.
amazing.
That's huge.
Well, you know, it's interesting about Albuquerque. It has got so much that it's known for, like a hot air balloon capital, right? You know, flamenco capital, mariachi music, good food, wine. Let's bring in the wine.
Lots
We've got
of
an
chili.
Old town with a plaza that is really old school New Mexico.
And we're starting to be recognized as a place for food. A lot of the last year and a half, a lot of the food magazines are finding Albuquerque and realizing what a great place it is for food.
Mm-hmm. I remember like the food. I don't think we had a bad meal. I mean, we had a really good time, and I liked going to the Sawmill because there were so many different restaurants in there. I know I bring it up all the time, but I love food halls like that because you're supporting real small business. And that's what part of staying in a bed and breakfast is. It's a real experience versus, you know, here's your selfish check-in, like here, use your phone to check in kind of thing. And I know sometimes there's a place for that, but staying in a bed and breakfast is that true hospitality where we get to meet you guys and, you know, have a conversation. My gosh, that's not on a phone or through Zoom, not knocking Zoom. I'm just saying, right? It's warm, it's personable, and the food hall is small people, the same, it's the same thing with small business and really good food and beer. New Mexico beer. You guys have a lot of breweries too.
Yeah.
Oh, we do. Yeah. That's another thing Albuquerque is really coming on into is known for local breweries and brew pubs and all kinds of places, distilleries too.
Yeah, distilleries are making
a distilleries big, are making a big big move in New Mexico. Yeah.
So there's I can't even count the number of distilleries there are, and they're doing really interesting things with gin and whiskey. So it's really a great place to be.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like we have to come back.
You do?
Yeah. Okay with me. All right. We'll see you in a couple, like a month, maybe sooner actually. But you know, I want to go back to Bodker Mansion. And I saw that you did a newsletter saying, you know, about Bodker Mansion haunted, yay, nay. Is it true?
Yes.
I want to touch on that, but I thought, Kathy, maybe you could give everyone kind of an overview of the history of Bodker Mansion, because I think that's one of the main reason also to stay at the inn is that, I mean, the history, the people, the human history at that inn is, and it's unreal.
Mm-hmm.
But real, not the ghosts, though. They're not real.
No. It comes up, and usually in the fall a lot. Some people want to think that every old building is haunted, and it's just not. I mean, we live here, so there's that. The house is actually was built in 1912 as a family home, and it's a little bit different architecture. It's American Foursquare, which had a brief period. So, you know, you had Victorian and then Queen Anne and then American Foursquare was like 1900 to about 1920 or so. And then you had the craftsman style houses in like the 1930s with some Art Deco in there. And then, of course, moving into the 40s and 50s and 60s were the one story, you know, three bedroom, two bath ranch. So we do have a number of American Foursquare homes. We're the only one here in Old Town. And at the time, it was built with a lot of modern conveniences because the thing was if people had money to build a fairly nice fancy home, they wanted everything that they had back east. So there's a basement because there was a central heat furnace in the basement. It had speaking tubes to the rooms. There was a dumbwaiter that went up from the butler's pantry up to the second floor. And it was the first residence in Old Town to have gas light, I think.
Not in Albuquerque.
Not in Albuquerque, but in Old Town. Let's see, just a few things like that. But the... And it was built, actually, the property history goes back way even farther than that. Actually, it was built on the site of the Manuel Armijo House. He was the territorial governor of Nuevo Mexico when it was part of Mexico.
Wow.
So the early 1800s. And then and there was a 40-room hacienda on this site with a central courtyard. And at one point, it was considered to be the grandest home in all of the territory. But over the decades, of course, we're talking early 1800s. And then it fell into kind of decay. And then Charles Bodker's father, his parents were actually out here on a trip to New Mexico, and the property was for sale. And his father bought it intending to come out and build his house on this property. But he passed away before that could happen. So Charles Bodker inherited the property. And then he was very fortunate. He married well. And his wife had inherited a mine from her stepfather. Ooh. And in 1909, that mine, suddenly they discovered ore. And he had enough money to tear down the Manuel Armijo house and build this grand American foursquare.
He did well. I mean,
yeah, he did pretty well.
He inherits the land and mm-hmm. then gets a wife with a good, should I say dowry? We can't say dowry, right?
Well, not really a dowry, but she was the stepdaughter of a man who had a lot of properties and interests. So yeah, she did well, and then therefore he did well.
What is it that led to so many famous people stopping by? How did that happen?
Well, the unfortunate thing is the house was built in 1912, but Charles Bodker probably had tuberculosis. He had what they called lung trouble. So back in the day, at one point, 50% of the population of Albuquerque had tuberculosis. That's why they were here. And so he built the house in 1912, but he died in 1914. And by that time, they had used up all of the money to build this big fancy house. And the mine was done. So there wasn't any more money coming in from the mine. And they were in society, if you want to say. They were well-known people. And you know, their doings were always in the social column of the newspaper on page 4 and things like that. Anyway, the only thing that was acceptable for a widow and her 2 teenage daughters to do, was run a boarding house. I mean, what do you do with a great big house, right? Mm. So they started it as a boarding house. And so that's why Machine Gun Kelly and his gang were here for a time. And Elvis Presley stayed here. Literally in 1956, just before Heartbreak Hotel became his first number one hit across the country. He was on tour and did a concert in Albuquerque, went to Amarillo, did a concert there, came back to Albuquerque, did another concert, and he stayed at the Bodker Mansion.
And Janis Joplin?
Janis Joplin sometime in the 1960s. Frank Sinatra didn't stay here, but he apparently sang at a wedding in the courtyard.
Don't you wish that they, you know, when they came over, that there was like wet cement that their hands were wanting to be in their footprints?
Something. You
know? That would have been cool.
The guest sign, you know, the guest register. No, yeah. there really isn't anything like that, unfortunately. But but
I feel like you guys should have like a museum going on in there too, you know, because it's what it shows about not just the inn having this amazing human history, right? Uh-huh. And multicultural, right, too, but yeah. Also that what Albuquerque was like back in the day too, that mm-hmm. it, you know, is you got to think also Route 66, there was travel along that highway and yeah. musicians right. did it too. Right. So exactly. And then of course, you know, 40 came in, Interstate 40, and so I don't know, I can't remember exactly when that switchover happened, but there you're so central, you know,
right.
you know, and you know, that's not necessarily a switchover, but it was World War II when it was Eisenhower who did that.
It was in the '60s. It was in the late '60s when I-40 came through.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank goodness it's back. Route 66. I'm glad, you know.
We know Route 66 turns 100 years old in just less than 2 years.
2026.
I'm sorry. 2026.
Well, I think we should start celebrating.
We are.
The city is already ramping up for that. Yes. They have a neon sign refurbishing program.
Oh, we love that. You know, we do. That's big.
Yep. And we have a brand new visitor center out on the West End. Actually, Route 66 runs about 20 miles through Albuquerque. So it starts
at the
base of Tejeros Canyon on the east side, goes all the way through Albuquerque, right smack through downtown, right by us. And then about another 10 miles the other way on the West End. And they have a brand new Route 66 visitor center over on the West End.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's cool. Yeah.
Not only that, but we have a guy who is actually, he has been going out and buying up the neon signs that have been taken down from places. And he is actually in the downtown area creating a neon sign museum, and it's going to be outdoor. It's all outdoors.
Oh. So
they're refurbishing them, and they're starting to put them up in this, you know, basically a big vacant lot. And I think eventually the plan is to have the museum there so people can walk around, but like food trucks and beverages and all that kind of stuff too. So just
that's
a real
awesome.
Fun place to go and see all that.
I think that's huge because so many are coming down and then people mm-hmm. buy them and put them in their bars and their basement
yes.
or, you know, it's kind of like a antique treasure. I think I've told you before on the show, we have friends that come over and document neon signs across the country. They're in Holland.
Okay.
They come over here twice a year and they're like, they're going away. And I said, well, should they be in a museum? He goes, no, they need to be back next to the businesses.
but it's
too expensive.
Yeah.
It's
so
expensive.
What has happened in some places in Albuquerque is, you know, as Route 66 became popular and the traveling public was able to drive, I mean, with the advent of cross-country driving and more disposable income, all of these Route 66 motels were popping up. And some of them were built fairly quickly and not particularly of a durable construction. And over the years, they've been vacant or abandoned or whatever. And so some of the motels have been torn down, but the signs were left. And those are called, in Albuquerque, those are called orphan signs.
And they're also protected.
And they're protected. So they are actually now cultural landmarks, mm-hmm. but awesome. You can actually adopt a sign. I think the city has a program for that because it costs a lot of money to refurbish the neon.
And so actually
the signs are still
running.
There,
yeah.
And they may not work, but you know, you can adopt a sign and pay to have it refurbished. And then, so it's a little odd though, because you've got a neon sign for a motel that's not a motel anymore.
But I think still when it's a cultural icon and a historic
yes.
landmark, then people
right.
start going and following the trail. Like you guys have, you know,
right.
And I think it goes hand in hand with your public art, because that
yes.
was one thing Nancy and I, okay, we're going to go do all the public art. We're going to do all the, what are
there?
There
is even
are?
More now since you were here.
Yeah, since you were here, there's way more.
There's way more.
Mm-hmm. How many pieces do you think? I think New Mexico is one of the best states for it.
Hundreds.
We there's wow. a part of the gross receipts tax that we pay goes to the arts. I think it's
really?
0.25%.
No, it's 1% for the arts is what the program.
Oh, that's right.
Is
it's 1% for the arts. That's
oh,
right.
Wow.
For the
and
arts.
they
yeah.
they and so they hire artists to do public art, whether it's sculpture. They've been redoing Second Street on the north side of Albuquerque. And so they've got walkways and they're putting up public art and landscaping things. So that's part of what that money goes for is the public art.
That's awesome. Because you have incredible, like you were saying, there's sculptures, there's murals, mm-hmm. and then there's just like moving art, moving sculptures and, mm-hmm. you know, mosaics, you know, murals mm-hmm. and sculpture. I love it. I think mm-hmm. it just adds color, you know, and gets and also tells cultural stories in the history of, mm-hmm. you know, and the natural history. Let's not leave out Petroglyph National Monument. We
mm-hmm.
can't. You know, we love it there. You know, I'm still amazed that all these petroglyphs are just like in the middle of suburbia. It's like, go for a hike and then you turn around, you forget when you're looking like where you are, like you forget because it's so fascinating. And that's, I mean, talk about public art. That's
yes.
like
yep.
the beginning of it, right?
Right.
You know, yeah. It's like the newspapers back then. But so that's something for people to experience. But Steve, we touched on food and the food hall. Let's tell us what's been going on for breakfast at Bodger Mansion. What could people expect for breakfast for the fall or winter?
Well, we go over to our cranberry French toast on a brown marinier sauce. I mean, we're in fall, right? And tomorrow we're going to have our first pumpkin pancakes.
With ginger butter.
With ginger butter.
Mm-mm. Ooh.
So, we're starting to gear up for fall now and fall things. Yeah. And, of course, green chili. Yeah.
Oh, the green chili. But now,
that's every day, right?
Is pistachios, is that that's the other side of New Mexico? Do you use pistachios and pecans?
We use a lot of pecans, not so much on pistachios, although I'm looking at some stuff using pistachios. But yeah, New Mexico has a big pecan crop. It's one of the largest in the country. Mm. And then we do also have a fairly sizable pistachio crop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know when we were driving through Las Cruces, I was like, oh,
that's
down
south.
You know, I was like, oh, there we are. We've got all that happening, you know. And so I was like, oh, you know, I'm like pecan pie. But pistachios would be fun for Christmas time because of the green.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
They're always good.
Ooh. Have you ever done breakfast tamales? I'm just wondering if that's even a thing. Could you do? Would that
no,
even happen?
So. Tamales are labor intensive.
Yeah, that's true.
I've never heard of that. I mean, you've got breakfast tacos.
Well, some people do breakfast enchiladas.
Which is just an enchilada with an egg on it. So,
But you know what? Honestly, like Nancy and I ran a bed and breakfast again for a week about a few weeks ago. Because I don't know why we get roped into this, but it's our third time. And I think because our friends call every time we're drinking wine. And they know what time we're drinking wine, and they're like, do you have your wine? Have you had a glass yet? Yes. Pour yourself another. And we should know when they say that what's coming next. But I think the first glass clears that out. And I don't know. We get roped into it. And every time I think of all the innkeepers we've been talking about on the show going, oh, my gosh, you guys work so darn hard. It is, I mean, because I do all the rooms. And then the breakfast, you know, having to get the breakfast. Nancy has a whole new vocabulary that's not allowed on radio shows anymore because it's like 10 people all at once. And then last minute, someone goes, well, I don't want to eat this thing anymore. I'm like, what? You know, so the hospitality goes so far beyond what you realize as a guest, which is a good thing, you know, but I have to tell you, every time we do this, I'm famished. I'm done. By the time our friends come back to their inn, I'm like, that's it. You have the keys. I'm done. I'm really going to go have a bottle of wine, not a glass, a bottle of wine. Because it's a lot of work, but it is highly rewarding. And to see people smile. There was a couple with their anniversary and making sure like everything was perfect. And we had to, I had to deliver the breakfast to their room with champagne, like, and they're upstairs, like way upstairs, the Victorian mansion. And I'm going, why do we have Victorian mansions? Do we have to do this? But to see them being really happy and people talking at the breakfast table about what they experienced, there's something about that for you guys, for each of you. What is it for you, Steve, running a bed and breakfast that makes you happy? When it's really hard work, what is it that you go, you know, this is cool?
You know, it's when people appreciate what we're doing and what we can provide for them. You know, a lot of innkeepers are preserving structures that are historic. Mm-hmm. A lot of them aren't on a national register or anything, but just the being able to keep these houses functioning and looking great, that's a labor of love. That doesn't it takes a lot of time and effort to make sure they are still standing. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, this building, if it wasn't a bed and breakfast, could very well not exist anymore.
Right. And it costs money to do it, you know, but I believe that it's also not just the building you're keeping, the family history of the people who inhabited the building, but all, and keeping it alive. That's why I asked you about the history again, Kathy, because, you know, I never tire of hearing these stories, even if I've heard them before, because it keeps us all fresh. And the buildings and their stories and the people's stories is part of the integrity of what Albuquerque is for you. Like if it's in Taos, it's the same thing. These buildings are part of what makes that sense of place that we always talk about, of a destination. If it was all the same kind of little boxes on the hillside, then you don't have a destination.
Exactly.
You know, for you, Kathy, what's the big,
That's why the history of the house and the family who built it has always been so interesting to me, because the house being an American Foursquare is kind of an anomaly. Because you know what, most of the houses here are the Pueblo style with the flat roofs and vigas and portales, and they're pretty much all brown, different shades of brown or beige. So that's the standard architecture here. So this house really stands out as being different from that. But it also helps people put the house and the history in perspective, to know that there was an awful lot more going on here, that everything wasn't just the same. I mean, we have craftsman houses here, and we have Victorians. And so it's a real mix, and you get a sense of the development of Albuquerque, how it grew up. And you'll have one house right next to another, and there are different kinds of houses. So you understand that as that neighborhood was being built up over time, the architecture of the buildings reflects what was going on at that time. So,
you've got color to the home as well, from the outside of it to the inside, but it's not overwhelming color.
And
that's something where you go, oh, you know where you are. You know, was it like that before? Is that something that you decided is, you know, for the inn to have
the
color?
The house being pink? That was after 1997. We know that. The house has been several different colors. At one time, when Julia Bodker Gallegos died in 1968, and she was quite a well-known person in Albuquerque, you know, big obituary with her picture in the paper and all of that stuff. It was called the Yellow House with Blue Trim in Old Town. So at one point it was yellow with blue trim. At one point it was, kind of a gray house with a different color blue trim. So I did want to tell you that since you all were here, we had the most amazing thing happen within a couple of week period. We had a guest who came, and she had stayed with her family here in 1998, and she had pictures.
Oh, wow.
And then we got email from someone out of the blue, and he said, oh, when I was going to UNM, I lived in that house, and that was in 1970, 71.
No way.
Something like that.
So and he came home.
And he had come back on a visit. So he'd finished at UNM, gone back to New York, came out on a visit in 1974 and took pictures, and he sent them to me. Oh,
no
my
way.
Goodness.
There's a wreck.
It was a wreck.
Oh, no way. So you're feeling pretty good now, right?
Yeah,
you know,
it was,
the house had gotten sold out of the family. It had been vacant for a number of years. Yeah. There was you know, they had a leaky roof. There was water damage, all kinds of things. And he said he actually got to live here for free. The deal with whoever owned it at the time was that he and the other people that lived here, were to work on fixing up the house. And they did.
Oh, okay.
Not to a pristine condition, but basically cleaning it up and getting it habitable again. And so they did some of that, but the pictures that we got were just amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic that you have that history
to
add to your collection. You see, I told you need a museum room.
Yeah.
but I think it goes back to what you were saying, Steve, about, you know, keeping these buildings intact, you know.
They're so close to being, we're so close to losing them at any given moment. That's the problem. You know, if they go vacant and fall into disrepair, it doesn't take long for a municipality like Albuquerque to say it becomes a nuisance.
Right. Oh, then that's going to be taken down.
They get torn down.
They get torn down.
Mm-hmm. Even look at Sleepy Sleepy Lobo in. They were on the show. Is it Sleepy Lobo?
No.
Yeah, they were on it, and look what they did to renovate this building.
Didn't they do a great job?
It's a lovely little
From what I could see, I haven't been there yet. I was like, yet on the end if we haven't been somewhere, because you never know. But, I mean, they really just, you know, put their heart and soul into that property.
They sure did.
It's really charming, and it's really nice to see a house that was built in a different time period.
But it's different than yours. It's not that far from you.
What were the architectural elements that were being put in houses at that time, as opposed to, you know, 1912?
Right.
Mm. And that's interesting. I mean, because you're not that far. Well, to me, nothing's really far anymore.
We're about 3 miles away.
Oh, that's nothing. Yeah, you can walk there. You know, maybe. I don't know. It depends.
What's up on the
Yeah, but it seems that they're by the university, so their appeal is to a lot of people going to see their kids.
Yeah, they're right across college. They're right across the street from the university.
Mm-hmm. But that's, to me, like, it's such a different kind of clientele that you know guests that will stay, and I love that kind of blend in a community where there's something for everyone. And for them, I think it's really nice for even the students to know some place where their parents can stay.
Mm-hmm.
And even have like a kind of a welcoming overnight before they, you know, here you are, go be an adult now. Right on your own. It's kind of a cozy thing to have a B&B that's part of that mm-hmm. makeup. Because often it's not, you know, so that's a really nice, I think it's so cool to see these historic buildings. And not all inns are historic, but I would say about 70-80%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd say about a good 80% are historic. And all have kind of stories, and then for your guests, they're leaving their story as part of the mix as well, which is a cool thing. So, but let's talk a little bit. It's fall, November, Thanksgiving's coming, and then we're getting into that Christmas holiday season. And I'm going to guess that a lot of holiday, I'm not going to guess, I know there's a lot of holiday shopping that can be done in Albuquerque. So definitely, if you're going to, listen, we're so against all that Black Friday stuff where everybody beats each other up over a TV in a big box store. I mean, what is that? I mean,
well, it's all online now. You don't beat anybody up anymore. No, it's all online.
I don't know, but then there's websites on. Okay, I'll behave. But you know what
same
I mean.
Though. The whole thing about going and shopping the Friday after, you know, or the weekend after Thanksgiving, it was about being out. It was it's a festive time. You dress up in your Christmas sweater. Well, unless it's 75 degrees, you dress up in your Christmas sweater and you go out for lunch and you know, the decorations are up. So it's all
like that.
About
now
that.
It's nice and calm. That sounds fun.
And just getting into the Christmas spirit and all that stuff. So in that respect, online shopping is not a good substitute for that. But
we do have holiday stroll coming up.
But we have, there's a lot of holiday events. There's a ton of holiday events coming up in Albuquerque. So there's the Twinkle Light Parade, basically kicks it off the weekend after Thanksgiving. The Old Town Holiday Stroll is December 1st. The Knob Hill Shopping Stroll is the next Friday. We've got Mariachi Christmas. If you really want to get in the it's really fun.
I love mariachi music.
The Botanic Garden does the River of Lights the entire time, right after Thanksgiving up until New Year's.
Yeah,
beautiful outdoor light displays.
It's in the top 10 in the country for light displays.
Really? Yeah. Well, and your Botanic Garden, I remember going because we saw you. It was not quite spring yet.
Mm-hmm.
But the poppies were in bloom and there's like a Japanese garden and it was gorgeous. I need to get them on the show because we just did a recording actually airing a couple days after your show on Sunday. And we were talking about botanical gardens and theme parks and things like that across the country for holidays. And we were all talking about, you know, during winter and late fall, people tend to like, oh, well, botanical gardens are only spring and summer. And that is so not true. Mm-hmm. Botanical gardens in winter, there's a magical thing to them. And yours is so, yours is charming. It's like, it's cute. It's not overly big, but it is actually pretty big. Actually, when I remember, we had to walk off Steve's breakfast and that you have to do a lot of walking.
And you know, and it's part of the biopark, the botanical gardens, part of the biopark, which has the aquarium and then the zoo. And the zoo just opened a new exhibit, African exhibit for the African animals, and they're working on an Australian exhibit now. And it's one of the top zoos in the country, and that's all with you can walk from one to the other. It's really great.
It's an easy place to go park, and you can go to three different attractions all in. Yes. In one, and it's not far from Sawmill that I remember. I thought it was pretty
cool. It's not far from Old Town at all. It's only about a half
no.
mile.
And Old Town, that's what I was going to say. It's so easy from when you stay at the inn at Bodker, you just walk down the street and like the gazebo there in the plaza. Mm-hmm. Do they have performances that happen in the gazebo?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
For Holiday Stroll, there'll be music all day long, all over Old Town and on the gazebo. And then there'll be Illuminatias. Old Town. So it's a really a beautiful time to be here. And if we're lucky, it snows.
What?
If we're lucky. Or if we're lucky on Christmas Eve, which is more likely. We also Old Town has luminarias all over for Christmas Eve as well.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a tradition in Albuquerque to come through Old Town to see the luminarias and to be here on Christmas Eve.
And you have a lot of shopping in Old Town and art galleries and restaurants. And I love the Old Town. I thought the first day we got there, we went and had dinner downtown, and I looked at Nancy. I'm like, well, we don't have to go anywhere else. We're parked. We could
just walk.
Speaking of that, I know there's Uber and Lyft and everything, but is there transport that takes you around, or should you get an Uber to go to other places from you if they don't want to drive?
If they're here without a car, Uber. The bus transportation is we do have the ART, which is runs down central. That'll get you to the downtown University Nob Hill areas, and that's free, and that's fairly quick. But to get to other places in Albuquerque, it's either by car or Uber.
Okay, that's good to know, and it's not hard, Flying in is not far, right?
We're 15 minutes. Yeah,
That's easy. That's it. Do you see people coming back from Europe this year?
Oh, yeah.
After
we've
COVID?
Had quite a few people now coming in from overseas. Absolutely, from Australia, Europe, Canada. Yeah,
awesome.
They're seeing
awesome.
Come back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yay! They love the Southwest, especially in the summer.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they'll do the temperatures, man.
We're starting to see people do the Route 66. People are starting to do Route 66 again.
That is building up.
It used to be pretty strong, and COVID came along, and then it kind of died out. But now it's coming back strong.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing a lot of people stop. And they stop with us, but they're going from Chicago to Santa Monica, or they're doing a part of it. Some people do it over, 3 or 4 years. Mm. Not everybody can drive straight from Chicago to Santa Monica.
Well, there's so much along the way, though.
So,
if you drive the whole thing in one shot, there's a lot of things you're probably going to miss.
Yeah. That is.
There are people who will take like a piece of it. In fact, we had a father and son, and they were doing Route 66, and they were taking a segment of it every year. And they said it was going to take them like 5 years but they wanted to do everything along the whole route.
It's so hard. I mean, that's why we're on the road full time. Nancy and I, because you can't, we are doing Route 66, and we've done a lot of the portions of it, and then sometimes we didn't even realize we're on it, because we're also doing the Jefferson Highway, we're doing the Pony Express Trail, and then we start getting into all the historic trails, which means you can't do it all, but sometimes there's historic landmarks and attractions that do all, like, they'll be in, like, one spot, all kinds of things happen in this one spot. And we're like, oh, thank you. But I love the fact that you can keep coming back to an area to see, oh, I missed this part, because there's no way. And I mean, we do this full time, and you just can't do it all. But that's the beauty of road trips, is that you can stop the car, even if it's, sometimes even national parks, like when we were did Petroglyph, we were in Albuquerque for way too short of a time. But do what you can. Like, we did one little trail. We couldn't do all the hiking trails we wanted, but next time we come back, we're going to go no longer one. So you can keep adding to that and discovering more. You just can't do it all, but you certainly can die trying to do it, that's a good way to go out.
Right.
I'm not ready for that, though.
Since you were here, though, the rail yard has opened another building.
Oh.
We have at the rail yard in Albuquerque, when it was built, was what, the largest rail?
The engineering building.
Yes.
The largest steel.
Rail yard?
No, it was the largest steel and glass Art Deco building in the world when it was built.
Wow.
It could, it's an amazing history. We could go for an hour on that all by itself.
Wow.
But that engineering building could overhaul 19 engines simultaneously and manufacture every part of the engine right there on the yards. So these were the largest yards west of the Mississippi.
Wow, that's huge. And for Art Deco, because look at that as another, you know, architectural gem. I mean, so you have a little bit of everything going on in Albuquerque when it comes to architecture.
Yeah.
Wow. So the city owns that property, and they are in a very long process of renovating all of those buildings. So they've renovated another building. So on weekends from what, April through October, every Sunday they have the rail yard market, which is a combination of farmers market and crafts and local products. And they have live music and lots of food. And then in December, I think it's December 9th and 10th, they have a huge holiday market. And it's really expanding that whole area. So now they've got two buildings that they've renovated, and there's a very large courtyard area and paved area around that. And it's really expanding. It's really become a really wonderful place to go on a Sunday and see all sorts of things.
And it's also where the Wheels Museum is, and that's a museum devoted to railroading.
Really? Right. You know, because I know we're actually doing some special stories coming up on rail history, because if you're into railroad history, man, I tell you, all my friends that are railroaders are like,
they love it.
Yeah.
They are enthusiastic is an understatement, they're into it. So we're looking
we have the railroad room, the Hazeldine, which is our railroad room, and as homage to the railroad. And people specifically want that room because of it.
Yeah.
And we just did a remodel on that. And we now have this amazing photograph of the engineering building that done with a fisheye lens. It's just an amazing photograph in that building, in that room, over the bed. And it's really changed the tenor of the room, and I think it's even more appealing than it was to railroaders.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. Because we're going to have to do a show just on railroad history. But then, I know that just will end up being its own show or something crazy.
Yeah. That's a series of shows.
It is. Because then you get into the Harvey House girls and, you know, the Harvey House
Absolutely.
History.
Absolutely. Well, we had a friend who passed a couple years ago who was a Harvey girl right here in
Albuquerque.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, there's still some folks still around that were actually part of that. Yeah.
No way. That's so cool. I mean, that history is amazing. I mean, that is some hospitality history, you know, that people should know about and seek it out. And it's all throughout the Southwest, which is just, it's fascinating for sure. Wow. So a lot of things, but before you go, I want to talk about nature because it is the migration season. And so when does am I saying this correctly?
Awesome.
The Bosque del Apache National Wildlife Refuge?
Yeah. They're, well, the cranes are back.
They've okay. Been so back. You could go now.
Yeah. Well, they start showing up, towards the, mid October. They start showing up. And the Festival of the Cranes is actually December 6th through the 9th down in Bosque del Apache. But that's not just the cranes. That's hundreds of thousands of waterfowl in there. There's
Canada geese and all kinds of ducks.
Snow geese. I bet you get snow geese. Ducks. Too.
There's so many different varieties. It's amazing. Plus the cranes. I was just this morning, I was out riding on the Bosque here. And there were cranes in the field right next to the path I was.
No way.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to go down to the.
Yeah, you don't have to go there.
It's a beautiful National Wildlife Refuge, but you don't have to go all the way down there just to see the cranes, because they take off in the morning and they fan out all along the Rio Grande River looking for fields and feeding areas. And we have them right here in Albuquerque. I mean, like 3 miles from us.
At the Rio Grande Nature Center?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There are actually fields all along the Rio Grande where they grow grain. And that grain is grown specifically for the cranes and the waterfowl. And they knock it down in the fall for them to eat. And that's why that's what they're grown for, is for the cranes.
Wow. So where were we when we went to Tingley Beach, right? So that's not
Tingley. That was on the bus.
And there's a park. So that's on the bus. Because I remember seeing a bunch of cyclists on a trail.
Yeah, that's where
and
I was.
And a railroad.
Yeah. Well, that's gone now. They took that out, and now that's a walking path. I think they're getting ready to put a people mover in there now to move people from the biopark to the zoo.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. It was part of, and that's where we went there because of the public art. But there were geese, and there were birds in the pond.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have them year-round. Some stay here. But right now, all the migrations are coming in. So we're seeing dozens of different types of ducks and geese. And other
better scurry. No, sorry, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Sorry, ducks and geese.
And we have a new. We have actually the Valle del Oro.
Yes,
is a new national wildlife refuge.
Yes,
it's in Albuquerque. It's about 8 miles or so south of here in the South Valley. And they are developing that. So that's a lot of open space right now, but they're doing things like creating a marsh area.
That was it was originally a wetland. And then Creamland Dairy took it. It was a dairy farm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they developed it that way. And now they're going to bring it back to a wetland. Mm-hmm.
Oh, restore the habitat. So that's awesome.
They're putting in things, native landscaping, and they're putting in pollinator areas, pollinator gardens, and the wetlands. And just they've got a multi-phase plan down there. So right now it's like a big open canvas with, just slow but steady work going on. But it'll be interesting to watch that over the years, how that develops.
And they just
I want to go now.
And they just opened up a path, a bike trail to it a couple years ago. So you can get down there fairly easily now.
That's exciting, because they do really good jobs as the National Wildlife Refuges on pollinator gardens. A lot of them that we go to have them. They often have like a drive. So if you aren't a hiker, there's like a scenic drive or a wildlife drive you can do in wildlife refuges. I don't know if that'll happen there, but to watch a restoration project, I think will be really cool for people to see how restoration can work, because we need to reclaim a lot of our land in that way and bring it back to where it was, especially, if there's wetlands, it's a huge importance, especially in the Southwest, to get some of that wetland habitat back. And okay, now I have to come back again.
Yes, absolutely.
How many times am I going to have to keep coming back? See, we just keep going in circles. But I love that they have a bike path, because I think that's the other thing. When people, take a break, it's nice to just get on a bicycle. Not saying that I can do it. You don't want that. Maybe after the glass of wine. No, I'm just kidding. But to be able to be free away from phones and computers and just be out.
And it's very easy to rent a bicycle here in Old Town.
Oh, cool.
And in fact, we have a package for that, for their tour, or we can arrange for you to rent bicycles. And there's a lot of places you can bike to here. It's really good.
Awesome.
It's really nice.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, listen, guys, it's always good to have you on the show. Thank you for coming back. And happy Thanksgiving to you both.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it's already here?
I know.
I mean, wasn't it just summer the last time we talked? What happened?
We'll be decorating for Christmas in just a couple of weeks.
Exactly.
Really? Now, what happens also like for Thanksgiving? Do you have guests over the holidays?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we're pretty full.
No rest for you.
Not yet.
Yeah, sounds like you need a little bicycle ride into the new wildlife refuge.
There you go. There you
I
go.
love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much, everyone. Again, go to botger.com. It's BOTTGER, botger.com. And of course, we're here every second Thursday talking about New Mexico bed and breakfast and destinations and events. So keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. But plan your trip. There is bed and breakfast all over the land of enchantment. So go to nmbba.org. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Take care.
Gracious hosts, unique lodging, and tasty cuisine. New Mexico bed and breakfasts are New Mexico true. Our innkeepers are as special as New Mexico, and we're sharing their stories. Read about them and plan your trip at nmbba.org.